Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to episode number 6 of my podcast. Yes, I'm hoping to do these monthly, and, a month seems to turn into 2 months. But anyways, I want to give you a bit of an update about what's going on with my life, and then, of course, get to our main topic. And the main topic for episode 6 are vacation renters tips, what I've learned when you have a vacation property and you're renting it out. I've got a lot of emails about this, and I'm eager to answer the questions on episode 6 of my podcast. So thanks for tuning in, and let's get this show started. So yes, it's been over a month. It's been close to 2 months since I published episode 5. And, I really want to keep this up. I think it's helping me become better at the software. And more importantly, much to my surprise, I actually have people that do listen and tune in. So evidently, I'm not as boring as I think I am. And some of the topics I talk about in my professional and personal life of do have interest for other people. So it's nearly 8 months. The baby is nearly 8 months old, which is an exciting point for my wife and I. He is rolling around like a tumbleweed, and we're excited for the next big stage, which is crawling and then walking, and then I'll really be an old man and sit around and talk about how things used to be. But it's been an amazing 8 months journey, and I appreciate all the kind feedback everybody sent me and tweets and all that good stuff. And of course, I still work in enterprise sales during the day, and life is great. I'm still traveling about 1 to 2 times per week, primarily in the Northeast. And if you ride the Northeast Regional Acela train, I think it's $21.65. I'm probably on that 1 or 2 times a week going up to Manhattan from Baltimore. And one of the big things that we're doing with our personal real estate investments, as you know, we're pivoting the business out of the Shenandoah Valley and focusing and doubling down in Ocean City, Maryland. So, this episode is going to be talking about Weekend Oasis and what we've done for owning properties and renting them to vacationers. And I have sold another property in the Shenandoah Valley. I actually closed on September 7th. And that asset is now free, and hopefully that will allow us to continue to pivot the business in Ocean City and use that capital to buy another property in the winter. Time will tell, though. The market is not what I was hoping in Ocean City for this time of year. It's not a lot of properties, I should say, for what we're looking for. Another interesting thing, and this really is odd to say and makes me feel old in many ways, but we are planning our first family trip. And when I say our first family trip, it's with the baby, obviously, to Disney in 2019. So we booked the flights. We plan to take our au pair with us so she can experience something, and then that will give us at least one evening of adult time to go to dinner. And it's going to be probably around March of 2019. So it's odd to me planning a trip to a place really focused on kids. But even though Jack will be young, he'll be a little over a year, we're trying to get into a yearly trip to Disney so he can really kind of grow up looking forward to that at least once a year among other vacations. But really, let's dig into our topic for episode 6. And it's something that I get a lot of emails about, because a lot of people know that while I, my professional career is in software, and that's what matters to me, and that's, per se, puts food on the table for the family, I'm able to use some of my income to invest in vacation properties, which started in 2002. So believe it or not, I've been doing this for 16 years. And I want to focus on really tips, tricks, what I've learned, and I have about 10 questions that I've combined for this episode that have been sent by random people through different forums that I sit on and whatnot about this specific topic. So for the next 15 minutes or so, I want to break them down, answer some questions, and to give you an idea of what it's going to be. Really, what is a vacation rental? What is the biggest mistake people make? Why do I run my own management company and even manage properties I don't particularly own, and what that means? Of course, will you make lots of money? Is there a misconception in that? I'll let you know my thoughts. What's the biggest issue that we have with vacation properties and renting them. One of the common themes is, man, you must get a lot of bad guests and your property's destroyed. I want to address that. How do I advertise? The industry has changed dramatically over the time I've been doing this, and I want to talk to that and where I think it's going to go. Kind of at the peak when I had Weekend Oasis, when I had, I still have it, but what was the peak growth of Weekend Oasis and how many properties did we have, and really why did I pivot the business and that sort of thing. So let's go ahead and tackle these questions, and I welcome any feedback, comments, commentary, and I'm hoping to interview other owners on maybe episode 7 and beyond about this topic. Okay, so vacation properties. As I mentioned, I bought my first property in Linden, Virginia, in the Shenandoah Valley in 2002. What is a vacation rental? That's a common question that I get from folks beyond just, yeah, I know it's a property people rent. And I focus on short-term, 1 week or less stays at our property. So basically, it's like I'm a hotel with providing an entire house, condo, cabin, whatever, for my tenants. So vacation rental really is something, and most people are familiar with Airbnb now, we can rent a whole property. So, you know, what do I provide in the vacation property? You know, we basically provide everything you would need. All you have to do is take yourself and, you know, shampoo, toothpaste, and clothes. We provide linens, all the beds are made, all the pots and pans, everything that you would want, and we even have services where you can have food deliveries. That's primarily in our Ocean City properties. So I started Weekend Oasis after I bought my first property only because I wanted to have kind of the central holding company per se where I can rent all of my properties. So Weekend Oasis enables me to kind of have that one face to the brand, so I don't have to advertise every single property independent. I can basically focus on branding Weekend Oasis and under that brand each property uniquely as needed. So running my own management company enables me to not pay the fee to somebody to do that. It enables me to hire my own cleaners, my own inspectors, and really do a lot of the business administrative tasks. So I feel like I'm a very good businessman and I've been very successful in my career. So I didn't want to pay somebody to do the tactical business end of things. So Weekend Oasis allows me to push the paper per se from a management company standpoint and then leverage people like cleaning companies, inspectors, and handyman services to be my feet on the street per se and actually do the work. That also gives me the ability to seek out properties I do not invest or own, but I take an interest in. So as an example, we're looking at a 5-bedroom, 4-bathroom townhouse in Ocean City. It's going to be a property that we onboard under the Weekend Oasis brand. We manage it, but we don't have to fork out the capital to buy it. So we will be taking a percentage of every booking, and that capital that we earn will feed and keep Weekend Oasis alive and even allow us to then outright buy other properties. So it's kind of a way, having my own management company, to organically grow the business and get a larger portfolio quicker and easier than me taking all the risk and buying the properties. One of the other questions that comes up frequently from people is, you know, hey, Jason, what's the biggest mistake people make with a vacation rental property? And I would say the biggest mistake people make is they buy it and they basically, you know, treat it like their own vacation property and not an asset they're going to monetize. So you have to gut check yourself. Are you buying a property strictly to make money, or are you buying a property to use and occasionally rent? We prefer people, and even us included, we use our own properties, to invest in a property that you will use with your family, and more importantly, you will then rent out occasionally. typically people go into it saying, I'm just going to monetize this property from the get-go, and they're not going to enjoy it. They're not going to put any of their own touches on it, and that will generally come back to haunt you in the end because it will just look like a kind of a big task. And that leads nicely into the other question of why do you want it to not just be a big task and ordeal? And specifically the reason being is because the common notion is, will you make lots of money? So let me give you an example. I'm chatting with a guy and he can rent his property for $3,000 per week during season. But he basically just assumes he's gonna rent it $3,000, made $12,000 a month, and he's gonna rent it 5 months out of there. He thinks he's gonna make $60,000. So if you, you know, take that at value, but then you have to go ahead and put all of your additional costs in. I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but he has no interest in ever going to the property or using the property with his family. So what's happening here is that $60,000, after he pays a 15% cut to a management company like Weekend Oasis, after he pays for upkeep, after he pays for maintenance, it really starts dwindling down, believe it or not. And it's more of a nuance because, a nuisance, I should say, because he never uses it himself. So, you know, when you talk about the biggest mistake and when you talk about where you make lots of money, you really have to make sure that you're not buying a property that's going to require such a substantial rate per week, and then you're not going to really be able to have fun with it because you don't ever intend to use it. So you just look at it as a huge debt, and if you don't rent it, it becomes stressful. So, you know, when you get in this business, you know, the first thing I tell people generally is, if you can't afford to own the property without renting it, don't buy it, because your stress comes from figuring out how to get the home loan, stressing yourself out to rent it, never using it yourself, and then when you have Hurricane Florence, like we have right now coming up the East Coast, it's not affecting Maryland right now at all, it's south, but it definitely is affecting people getting to Maryland, and, you know, they did put Maryland in a state of emergency and create a lot of false alarms, so you're going to get weeks that you miss. So I guess my question is, you're not going to make a lot of cash, you're going to make equity. So it's a long game. If you're getting into this business as a short gain, buy a property, rent it for a couple years and get out, I think that's a losing formula. You got to think about getting a property. Like, I sold a cabin last week, Friday the 7th, September 7th, so exactly a week ago, that I owned for 16 years. It was a long game. I made some cash. I had some, I had a little bit of asset and a little bit of money in the unit, but that was a very long 16-year process to get to that point. So after people say, hey, what's the biggest mistake and will you make lots of money, they typically say, Jason, tell me about your biggest issue you have in the business. Hands down, over the past 16 years of owning a rental property and eventually forming Weekend Oasis, our biggest issue is trash. The amount of trash people accumulate, even for a two-night stay, is astonishing. And, you know, you provide instructions, you tell them what to do. So let's go with two extreme ends here. Vacation cabins in the mountains typically do not have trash pickup. You have to have your cleaner, or you have to pay somebody to come empty the cans and haul it away. So what happens is, people have so much trash at vacation properties in the mountains, there may not be enough cans for them to put them in. So then what they do is they just throw them out on the, you know, on the grass next to the cans, and within a couple hours, every animal on the mountain is attacking them, ripping them open, and trash is everywhere. Or they do put the trash in, and then they put some loose trash in that's really nasty and grimy. When we have properties like in Ocean City that do have trash pickup, for whatever reason, people typically don't always take the trash out of the unit. The bags are ripped. They sling it the wrong way in the bin. I have not found out the best way to get people to be responsible with their trash, tie it up, throw it in the bin. I would say 50% of the guests leave a bag in the unit, and that's usually the nasty bag. They don't want to haul it to the dumpster that's leaking everywhere. So invest in heavy-duty bags. We typically use the heavy-duty lawn and leaf bags because they don't rip as easy. And when people overstuff them, if you put a 30-gallon bag in a 30-gallon bin, people put it and overstuff it. There's nowhere to tie it. So we try to use the 60-gallon bags in the normal kitchen trash cans. So when they lift it up, there's a ton of empty space so they can tie it and haul it away. So that is the tip there and kind of my biggest issue that I come across. And, you know, do we have a lot of bad guests? That's another common question and theme that comes up. Honestly, I can say over the years of doing vacation rental properties, we've had maybe three bad guests. And let me describe those situations. The first guest was a four-month stay that was always a little sketchy, and she was local to the area. So she wasn't an out-of-state, or she already lived in the area and needed a place for 4 months. It was my off-season at one of the condos in the Shenandoah Valley at Bryce Resort. I rented to her. She goes out a Friday night. She, you know, probably gets drunk, who knows what, comes back to the condo, and some dude she met was pissed off, knocked on the door. She let him in. They fought, and he punches a hole in the wall. So the reason why that was a bad guest, property damage was minimal, but it was the, you know, bringing, you know, I think the cops showed up, he was knocking on the door, causing commotion, you know, that happened, right? So, you know, I wouldn't say we get a lot of bad guests, but we have had our fair share. So we've learned from those, if it's a local person, we really ask questions and inquire about why they're looking for a property where they already live, given this is a vacation property and they want something short term. The other thing with bad guests, you know, I wouldn't say this is bad, but it becomes an issue when you have a short flip window. Most of our checkouts are 10 a.m. and check-in is 3 p.m. People that look like they never leave the property and they cooked 800 meals in the property. And there's a specific group of people, which I won't name, that, you know, they cook and the kitchen is a wreck and they don't do a good job cleaning it up. So 3-4 of these over the course of doing business, I would answer that question of saying, no, we don't get a lot of bad guests. We do a good job explaining what we offer. We have a very strict rental agreement we send, and everything seems to really benefit us, and we've been very fortunate. So I hope that trend continues. So if you're considering getting in the business, don't let everybody tell you you're just going to get a ton of bad guests unless you take everybody that inquires. How do we advertise? Back in the day, we used to advertise exclusively on VRBO. VRBO then was purchased by HomeAway and, you know, that big monster, which is now, I think, Expedia. So right now, the only channels we advertise on is weekendoasis.net. We buy Google keywords and we have a good presence. Facebook and Airbnb. We completely dropped HomeAway and VRBO, FlipKey, all of those guys. We didn't like the direction they were going in, and the lead quality was poor. So right now, it's all digital, 100%. We advertise to our existing guests. We put a lot of focus on getting people to find us directly because it's cheaper if you book directly with us since we're not paying fees. But Airbnb, as much as I have some dislikes about it, I absolutely love the leads they send us. They are reputable, they're good, and they're good quality tenants so far. But what do I dislike most about the industry? And this is going to piggyback what I just said about Airbnb and counter that a little bit. The whole notion of the new sharing economy being, you know, I don't need to own my own car, I'll rent it. I don't need to own my own vacation property, I'll just rent it or rent out rooms within one I own. You know, it's less about buying and it's more about the experience and sharing items amongst people. The sharing economy has definitely saturated the market with many people renting places that are really bad. And it really gives the industry a bad name. So if you do any Googling about Airbnb stays and that sort of thing, you can see a lot of stories of people that are really irate about stays they had. But you have to ask yourself, you know, hey, Samantha, you know, why on earth did he think you were going to have a Ritz-Carlton experience when he renting some guy's spare bedroom in the basement of his house in the city? So I would, you know, say I don't like the sharing economy, specifically Airbnb in some cases, because it's saturated markets where there may have only been 10 properties and now there's 100, and guests really have to work hard to find the 10 that are legitimate, the 10 that have proper insurance, that pay the proper transient taxes, and that actually are giving them a vacation, not just some closet they converted to a bedroom. So my advice to anybody getting in the business is make sure you differentiate yourself from all of those places that really shouldn't be rented. And any tenants looking for a place, of course, consider and ask yourself, how can this be a great place if it looks like a closet in somebody's basement, right? So just be smart about what you rent. One of the big transitions we are doing at Weekend Oasis, at peak, we had Chestnut Oak Lodge, Bailey's Chase, and Bryce Condo at Bryce Resort. That's three. Pose Mountain Lodge in Amosville. That's four. We had another property near Amosville. That's five. We had Blue Mountain in Linden, that's six. We had Ocean City times two, that's eight total properties. At peak, Weekend Oasis owned and rented eight total properties, owned some of those, I guess it was four of them. We owned four of them and the other four we managed. Right now, we do two. So we no longer, at Bryce, we no longer rent Bailey's Chase, we no longer rent Chestnut Oak Lodge. They were two big cabins. As the market changed, we decided consciously to pivot our business to Ocean City. We maintained our condo at Bryce Resort because it's a proven winner, it books great, and it's easy to maintain and manage. Excuse me. In Amosville, we no longer manage Pose Mountain Lodge. It's an absolutely spectacular property, but we were having a hard time finding good tenants at the price point that we wanted. And Amosville, you know, has a lot of great things, but it's not exactly a booming tourist area per se. Linden, Virginia, Blue Mountain. This was a hard one for me. I bought it 16 years ago. We decided last year to sell it. We were unsuccessful, so we started renting it again. And then the opportunity presented itself to sell it again. So we listed it in August 1st of 2018. We had an accepted contract by August 2nd, maybe it was a 3rd, and we closed September 7th. That was a proven winner, and it was a moneymaker, but it was a property I owned, and I needed the assets, and I could not have the team I needed in that area anymore. So I decided that even though it would be great to keep, let's take the money we have in it, and let's make sure we don't try to keep it running with you know, inefficiencies because we're downsizing in Virginia. The reason why we made that decision, really, and the reason why we're renting fewer properties, let's just be honest with myself, right? We do not spend as much time in Virginia. We spend pretty much all of our time in Ocean City when we're not in Baltimore, and we have a baby. So all of those said, you know what, let's focus on a shorter rental season. The mountain properties rent 12 months out of the year. That's 12 months. I got to staff people, keep them clean, so on and so forth. The ocean properties are basically May through September, right? So May, June, July, August, September, 5 months tops. It's really 4 months. September is very slow. So basically within 4 months in Ocean City, at the rate those properties demand, I would make the same amount over 12 months of an equal property in the mountains. So we basically said, you know, for the longevity of Weekend Oasis, we can pretty much lock the properties up 8 months out of the year and just maintenance them and maintain them, and then we only have to rent them for 4 months and make the same money. So, you know, fiscally, you have to make a lot of decisions as a business owner. And one of the, you know, big decisions we made was how do we keep Weekend Oasis thriving? And we were covering a big geographic region in Virginia. Now we cover basically one, with the exception of the one condo in Virginia, which is kind of on autopilot. So, you know, as you get in this business and buy properties, I would say maybe a mistake I made was I was trying to cover a big territory. It was very hard to get from Basie, Virginia to Amosville, Virginia to Linden, Virginia, back to back to back, with traffic, with weather, and it was expensive. Gas wasn't getting any cheaper, right? And it's still not. So we'll focus more on 65th Street and above in Ocean City. You could take a bike to get to all the properties without having to worry about traveling too much. So, you know, I talked about a few tips here. You know, a lot of this might be validation to what you're thinking. A lot of this will give you insights into what I do, what my wife, what we do you know, in addition to our professional careers. And if anybody said, Jason, would you recommend anybody get into the business? I would say, sure, but make sure you have a lot of capital. Make sure that you are handy, because some of the stuff you're going to need to do yourself. And make sure you have the technical abilities to automate processes. If not, buy the property, go to a management company, let them do it all, and deal with their 15 or 20% cut, whatever it is they take. So I urge you to shoot me an email and let me know. I would love to hear about anybody that owns properties and they're renting them and your tips and tricks. And this pretty much wraps up episode 6. I wanted to focus on the rental industry and give my insights and answer all these questions, so that way everybody else can hear what I have to say. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the kind words. And everybody here on the East Coast, stay safe with this hurricane that's hitting us. And I look forward to chatting with you all in the future. So have a great day. We'll talk soon. See ya.